today. The HHS secretary says it is absolutely the government's business whether or not you have been vaccinated for COVID-19. And also Joe Biden pushes to end tax breaks for fossil fuel companies because you're not paying enough at the gas pumps. We have got a lot to cover today, and it starts right now. Welcome to the news and why it matters. I'm Sarah Gonzalez, today joined by Mr. Vaccine himself, Super Gear.
Thank you very much.
Also host of Stu Does America.
She's got three shots today.
Sarah. Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah. And that's your, the 60th one this week?
60th. Yeah. How'd you know? Are you in my business? Are you looking at my files?
I keep loose. Okay. It's the NSA. It wasn't
all
me.
For COVID, or some of them like tetanus,
no, some are herpes,
measles,
a couple of them are herpes,
mumps, herpes,
the chlamydia a couple times,
syphilis.
Nice wide array.
Also, of course, joined by Pat Gray of Pat Gray Unleashed, and I really am excited to get to this first topic, because as Stu knows, I always like to include vaccine topics when he's on the show.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
But it is a good, because Pat, just for the audience, I think all of the regular viewers obviously know, but for those who are just tuning in, Pat is not, he's not anti-vax, but he's just like, I'd like to know a little bit more about this particular vaccine before I choose to take it so that I can weigh the risks versus the benefits, which I think is obviously a very reasonable position to be. But earlier this week, the Biden administration made comments, including the White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki, that we're going to be engaging in community outreach to make sure everyone is vaccinated. We're going to be going door to door to make sure everyone is vaccinated. I'm not sure that she meant like we're going to be banging on everyone's doors. It may have just been a figure of speech, but it did get a little it did get people a little bit on edge. And now that I hear the HHS secretary's comments, which I'm going to play for you, it did make me like, oh, I guess they are going door to door. It is a lot like what it sounds like. So, of course, the argument is is it really the government's place to do this, to go door to door, to make sure that you're, vaccinated for something? And here is the HHS secretary saying it is absolutely the government's business to know who is and isn't vaccinated against COVID. Watch.
Perhaps we should point out that the federal government has had to spend trillions of dollars to try to keep Americans alive during this pandemic. So it is absolutely the government's business. It is taxpayers' business if we have to continue to spend money to try to keep people from contracting COVID and helping reopen the economy. And so it is our business to try to make sure Americans can prosper, Americans can freely associate. And knocking on a door has never been against the law. You don't have to answer, but we hope you do. Because if you haven't been vaccinated, we can help dispel some of those rumors that you've heard and hopefully get you vaccinated.
Which is always what you want, is some random low-paid government worker who comes to your door dispelling any rumors that you might have heard about the COVID vaccine, because I'm sure that they're certainly qualified to do that. So he appears to not take back or clarify the comments that were made about door-to-door. He seems to just double down on them. And then I want to get your thoughts on this, but I want to play one more of him saying, we want to give you as much freedom as possible. All right, but this is America after all. Watch.
We want to give people a sense that they have the freedom to choose, but we hope they choose to live, and we're going to make it possible for them to have a good life. And by the way, protect their family and loved ones at the same time. We hope people make the right choices. We want them to have the right information, but we are America. We try to give people as much freedom and choice as possible, but clearly when over 600,000 Americans have died, the best choice is to get vaccinated.
So now I just want to be clear what he said. We want to give people the sense that they have the freedom to choose, not the actual freedom to choose. We want them to feel like they're free to choose. But really, if they don't choose what we want them to, we're going to continue showing up at their door.
Choose wisely, apparently.
Please. Yeah.
Becerra is, Biden's cabinet is not one that I would put together.
Really?
To put it gently. And Becerra's probably the worst one.
Yeah.
Probably the worst person he named.
Really
a single individual in his entire cabinet. I mean, he's an extremist on a lot of issues, including life, meaning not keeping people alive with vaccines, but killing them in the womb. A big proponent of that. So not a fan of his at all. And, you know, it's as if they have designed this campaign specifically to not get people vaccinated. It's as
sure
if,
it really is.
If they like came up in a lab and they were thinking, how can we come up with a way to make people not want to get the shot? Because, you know, they keep talking about how it's all these evil Southern people and all these evil red state people who don't want to get vaccinated. And then their answer to that is to get Jen Psaki and Javier Becerra and Joe Biden to say they're going to come to your home like they're 50s vacuum salesmen and come in with needles and see what happens. Mm-hmm. No one is going to be won over by this, at least not in the groups that they talk about. You know, I mean, again, we kind of mentioned this on the radio earlier today. If you have a spokesperson that you want to send out there to get people on the right to maybe consider the vaccine if they're unsure about it, the person to do that is Donald Trump.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy who went through Operation Warp Speed, the guy who got vaccinated himself, the guy who is still to this day saying how proud he is about all of these achievements. I think that would be valuable. But you know what? That would take a modicum of putting the issue above themselves and their political gains, right? They'd have to say to Donald Trump, he did something right. What did they do when they came in? The exact opposite. They said, you know what? They left us with absolutely no plan. And we would have just had vats of vaccine sitting in the back of the White House if it wasn't for us. He was just storing it back there. Who knows what he was doing with it? Instead of saying, like, you know, look, Donald Trump, you know, you can, again, choose to have the vaccine or not. Not the sense of choice, but the actual freedom of choice. I think that's important. But, like, he did a lot to make this happen. He invested $10 billion. He got 800 million doses lined up. And then they came in and said Donald Trump didn't order enough doses.
Right.
They've lied about him and everything he's done the entire time. And it's to the detriment. And now they're sitting here trying to say, well, what if we send Jen Psaki over to your house? It's not going to work.
Pat.
I also love the arrogance that, we do have a right to go to your door because we spend a lot of money on that.
Right.
Is there a government bake sale I don't know about? Did you guys open up a retail clothing store? Because that's our money. That's our money you're spending. That doesn't give you the right then to hassle us at our homes. Unbelievable. And the only way I think I'd let them come to my door, because he said it's not illegal to come door to door.
Right.
Well, it sure as hell is against my homeowners association rules. I'll tell you that. Okay, there's no soliciting. So I'll be slamming the door in their face.
Yeah.
unless they're there to sell, you know, like a Kirby vacuum and give me a vaccine.
Yes. What a bake sale.
Maybe I'll look at the put them to work by dumping dirt all over my floor to see how well the Kirby works. That'd be the only way they'd get into the house. I mean, the arrogance is astounding.
Yeah, it is interesting too, because when you listen to what he had to say, you know, he says, well, we want you to, it's America, you're free after all, but 600,000 people did die. And it very much seems to be the talking point of this administration. You do have your freedoms for now up until a certain point.
Right.
But up until a certain point, you cross a certain threshold and we got to take those freedoms away.
I really hope. Yeah, I hope we don't hit that. I mean, I know that was something that, they talked about with Michelle Obama said the same thing about, I think it was school lunches, like basically like, yeah, we want you to be able to choose what you want. But if you don't choose correctly,
right,
you know, we're going to make a change there. Mm-hmm. That's obviously not the way it should be. I mean, you know, with the people who have the reason to know about whether you're vaccinated or not is your doctor. Mm-hmm. That's who should know. And, you know, again, mm-hmm. that's only if you tell your doctor. I mean, I think it's probably important for your doctor to know, just so they're not like, you know, again, like me getting 65 shots in a week. That's probably not a good idea. But I mean, you know, generally it's your own private medical information. And, you know, the left seems to care so much. They've told us so many times there's a right to privacy built into the Constitution, which I don't seem to find, but they seem to find it. They think it's mm-hmm. vitally important to justify abortion. Yet here it's not. There are people, you know, they're like, it's like the thing with contact tracing. You know, mm-hmm. if you test positive for COVID, they call you and they say, hey, tell us who you saw. And like, you know, you can choose to participate in that program. There are, you know, they do this. It's not just for COVID. They've been doing this for you know, diseases for a long time to try to shut down these outbreaks. You can choose to participate in those things if you want. But you shouldn't have to. That shouldn't be a requirement. It shouldn't be something that Javier Becerra is. And also, he has no right to do it. I think a lot of this stuff, too, they do is they almost want to threaten, hey, look, we might do more. We might do more. And it's like, well, you don't. This is the United States. You don't have a constitutional right. You have you've set limits on this stuff. And I think a lot of times they threaten this to try to make people go, okay, we'll participate. When in reality, it does the exact opposite.
Yeah. I mean, it just, it seems beyond what I could ever imagine for America that we have a vaccine now that has no, I mean, we do not have long-term studies on this particular vaccine. Mm-hmm. We just don't have them. I mean, again, it's like, choose to take it if you want to or not, but we don't have the long-term studies. It doesn't seem unreasonable to say, I want to wait for these long-term studies, but you see this push from Becerra, you see the push from the White House press secretary, from Joe Biden himself, from, you know, Stu's dad, Dr. Fauci. And you see all of these pushes of just like, what the hell's wrong with you? Just go get the vaccine. We'll go get it. What's wrong with you? It's like,
it's crazy.
Why are we talking about this like this is a tried and true vaccine that everyone's been taking for 50 years and no one has any questions about it?
And what percentage of Americans do you expect to get the vaccine?
Right. Yes.
We're already.
Well, they keep changing that.
We're two-thirds of all adults
have at least one shot, right?
Yeah. Better than I would have thought we would do.
Way better than I thought was going to. I thought we'd be at about 40%, maybe tops.
Yeah.
We're pushing 70%.
Didn't he say like 90? Well, we need like 90%
herd immunity. And of course, that includes children who aren't even aren't even available to get the vaccine.
Yeah.
You know, but again, like, go back to like the beginning of COVID for a second. There's two sides to this argument. The left is saying, hey, we got a lockdown. Everyone gets in their homes. Everyone stays in their bubbles. You never see another human being until all of this is over, right? The right's response to that is, well, we need to open up the economy. But what we need to do is protect the most vulnerable. If we can keep those people, you know, maybe separated from everyone for a while until we come up with a way so we can protect them, then that's a solution to this. And everyone else can kind of make their own value judgments on what they want to do. Well, we've arrived basically there. Yeah. 89% of people over 65 years old are vaccinated.
Which is great.
Like,
leave it
you
at
know, we've protected, you know, again, like depending on what your vaccine opinion is. But I mean, it's our best effort at the moment. Mm-hmm. And if you believe that
have the option.
Yeah, you have the option, right? And almost 90% of people that are most vulnerable have taken that option. What else did you think was going to happen? I mean, did you predict 100% acceptance?
Right.
100%? Like, obviously people have different opinions. Like, I don't know.
But there are different risks for different categories of people.
Exactly.
So why would there not be different opinions? That's what I don't get. It's like,
this is obviously
not a one size fits all thing.
Yeah.
So,
and look, there's lots of questions and people should be able to have them. As you point out, like, we don't have long-term studies on this, but you don't have long-term studies on anything in year one, right? Like, you know, we're in the middle of a pandemic. You can understand why someone who's really vulnerable would be like, I got to get this tomorrow. Some people might say, you know what? I'm 20 years old and, you know, I'd rather die drunk driving. Whatever the reason is, like, there's going to be a difference of options. And we, as Americans, we should accept that. This isn't Russia, right? Like, this isn't China. Mm. It shouldn't be, at least. And, you know, people should be able to make their own decisions. And I think the way that you get people to eventually make this decision, if you believe the right decision is to get vaccinated, the way you get people to do that is by showing them that it performs well. And not being psychotic, not being in their driveway. Every time someone comes up to my door that I don't know, I either think they're going to murder me or they're here to try to raise money for climate change. It's one of those two things, and honestly, I'd rather have the murderer most of the time.
All right, we've got more to come. First, we want to thank our sponsor, ExpressVPN. So, you know, we were just talking about that risk-reward thing. We all take little risks every day when we go online. Maybe we don't think about it, but we are taking a risk, you know. You think that your connection isn't going to be interrupted by hackers and your data probably isn't going to be used against you, but using the internet without ExpressVPN is like driving without car insurance, or like Stu said, just drunk driving. Why would you take that risk every time you connect to an unencrypted network, whether you're at a hotel, maybe an airport? Any hacker on the same network can gain access to your personal data. Maybe it's your password, financial details. Whatever it is, you don't want them to have access to this, okay? Even a smart 12-year-old could access this information. By the way, hackers can make up to $1,000 per person selling your personal info on the dark web. It is very lucrative for them. They have the incentive to do it. But ExpressVPN will act as your online insurance. It will create a secure, encrypted tunnel between your device and the internet so hackers cannot steal your personal data. I don't know about you, but I don't want a hacker profiting off of my personal data on everything that I am using on the internet. All right, so you need ExpressVPN. It's very simple to use. It does not make any sort of lag on any of your devices. You can use it on your phone, you can use it on your computer. You just upload the app and then you click one button to get protected. Secure your online data today by visiting expressvpn.com/y. You can get 3 extra months for free at expressvpn.com/y. President Biden pushed for eliminating tax breaks for fossil fuel companies during a speech yesterday in Illinois, saying that the extra tax revenue from those companies would help obviously pay for part of his Build Back Better agenda. Here is Joe Biden vowing to raise those taxes. Watch.
If we end tax breaks for fossil fuels and make polluters pay to clean up the messes they've made, that would raise $90 billion. I'm not asking them to do anything that is unfair. Just not going to subsidize them anymore. They're doing well, thank you. And the messes they made, they should clean.
By the way, the national gas price average has increased 40% since the start of the year, but it's just the 40%. So we'll be fine.
Yeah, but we saved that 16 cents on the
right on the barbecue.
On the barbecue, so we're probably okay.
Well, if you didn't have alcohol or sodas or hot dogs.
Well, who would have those things at a barbecue?
I know.
That's
crazy.
Absolutely.
That's
ridiculous.
Crazy talk. So, by the way, can I just say, it did look a little bit like he just got a spray tan.
He looked
very orange.
I don't want a president now without a spray tan. You must be spray tanned in office now.
He looked very orange for
he
the party
orange,
who
yeah.
keeps talking about orange, man. He looks a little orange. Of course, they probably just didn't want him to look dead. So they were like, let's just put something on you so you don't look like you just rolled out of the grave.
They do use the funeral home corpse makeup on Joe to get him from that state. But yes, he does look a little lively today, you know?
Yeah, he was completing sentences.
Hmm? Yeah.
He stood up for longer than 5 minutes.
He looked almost legally alive.
Yeah.
So that's a surprise.
Good for him.
The subsidy to oil companies, I can't believe the unmitigated gall of these people. They subsidize solar and wind energy to the tune of 25 times the amount that they subsidize oil and gas. And then we're supposed to be pissed off at oil and gas because they get $1 for every $25 that the so-called renewable energy companies get. We actually use a lot of the so-called fossil fuels.
Yeah.
The others are about, I think solar and wind together are, 6% of the energy that we get? 6, maybe 7%. It's a tiny percentage. But that's where we invest all of our money.
Yeah.
Of course, many of the subsidies they're talking about are essentially just tax breaks that you'd give to any business.
Right.
And they, that's understandable. And I'm against pretty much every subsidy for every reason, largely, at least from the government.
But they're specifically targeting
the
fossil fuel industry.
Yeah, exactly. Here they're going after the fossil fuel industry. And I'd like it to be equal. You'd think, though, if you're going to give out subsidies, you'd think something that basically built modern civilization would be a good target for them. I mean, helps people keep warm in the cold.
Something we actually use.
Yeah, it's something that drives the economy. It drives our military. It drives everything.
Literally everything.
And literally cars. It drives literally everything. So, I would prefer no government subsidies for anything, but if you're going to pick something, this would be a good target, not a bad one. You can make arguments that research and development on some of these outlying technologies, because there probably is a point where solar becomes efficient enough to make sense for people to use.
15, 20 years from now, maybe.
It might be 15 or 20 years. And that I'm fine waiting until we have to, until it's right.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, they want you to dump money into this now, give massive tax breaks. I mean, you know, things like, you know, the Tesla, people are getting $7,500 from the government in
tax
credits.
Talk about subsidies.
To buy them. Jeez. And they're $100,000 cars.
Yeah.
Like, none of this makes any sense at all. And, you know, it's this sort of fear-mongering on the climate that drives it. And it just warps and changes our economy in ways that we don't really fully understand. It's not
Glenn
a good
talked
thing.
About the renewable energy he's installed at his ranch before, where he spent a fortune on it.
I love this story.
Spent a fortune initially on his ranch because, you know, he's out in the boonies, and it's probably a good idea to have some. And he probably wants to be off the grid, and eventually he wants to create his own power. So he put in really expensive solar panels and all that, and it didn't work. And so he had to replace it all and put in really more expensive solar panels, and it's not working. And so he's got to replace those as well now.
He's going through his third generation.
Third generation.
He has. He also has
and he
wind,
has spent
and that's not enough.
A fortune.
And he still has both kerosene and diesel. Because so often he has to turn those things on.
Yeah, because the other's not working.
Yeah. And look, I mean, you know, for him, in his particular situation, being in the middle of nowhere, it might make sense to put that stuff in. Plus, he's an evil rich person. Right. But it's really not. It doesn't make any sense for the average Joe.
Yeah.
No.
Okay. So along with, while we're on the subject of fossil fuels, anytime that I can bring the very girly man estrogen running through his veins, Brian Stelter, into the conversation, I like to, because we here at the News and Why It Matters love to hear what Brian Stelter has to say, specifically since his show is called Reliable Sources, but it actually is the most unreliable source you could ever put anything into. So Brian Stelter was on with New York Magazine's David Wallace Wells, who told kind of a whopper here on talking about fossil fuels and how many people they kill each year. You just watch.
What does it mean, David, to be a climate reporter, that everyone has to be a climate reporter today?
Well, it means that climate is threaded through every aspect of our lives at the very highest level, through the geopolitics and competition of nations, not just over energy resources, but about over land and military relationships, trade relationships, all the way down to the individual, where many people's mental health is being eroded as we speak, to mention their physical health today. Best estimates suggest that air pollution from the burning of fossil fuels kills about 10 million people every year, which is dying at the scale of the Holocaust, in fact, larger than the Holocaust every single year. And yet we don't see many public health stories. We don't see many moral crises stories addressed to that issue.
Just getting around the piles of dead bodies from the people who have died from climate change in this country is getting so irritating.
It's really
cumbersome.
You
got to drive way around them.
Yeah.
Well, and that costs more global warming, right?
Because
you're adding
it's
miles.
You're using more fossil fuels to get around the dead bodies.
Very sad.
I think this article was trying to find, where could he have possibly gotten this information from? What did he misunderstand to get to this point? I think they're being very generous here. The World Health Organization previously estimated that 7 million people died from all forms of air pollution, not fossil fuels. But in April, Harvard researchers used a different computer model, which more than doubled that number. But then they were like, oh, by the way, 5.4 million of these deaths that we're talking about took place in China and India. Which I don't know if everyone out there is aware, but we can't really control, like, what we do here in the United States. We can't really control their emissions in China and India.
China seems to do a decent job controlling what we do.
We
can't go the other way with that one.
Which is part of the reason why we're not going to control what they do.
Yeah, I mean, this is lunacy, I think,
it
obviously.
Really,
you know, but it's funny because let's just take their ridiculous idea here that 10 million people are killed by fossil fuels every year.
And that's weird because I don't know anyone who is
I've never heard of a
fossil
fuel death.
You guys don't either?
From breathing.
Well, car accidents.
Well, okay, yes.
Because you would think 10 million,
you'd know some people. I mean, I guess what they're saying that, like, you know, emphysema.
Asthma. If you attribute all of that to air pollution.
Right.
There's been a lot of these.
Get there.
These estimates have been floating around. You know, and these climate activist organizations often produce them. And sometimes you get stuff like this out of the World Health Organization as well. But, I mean, let's just take it at face value for a second. Let's just say that's the harm. 10 million people around the world die every single year. Mm-hmm. Again, it's crazy, but let's just take it at its face. Mm-hmm. Have fossil fuels not done much, much more good than that? I mean, think about this. In the fossil fuel era, we have taken life expectancy and doubled it. We've taken a globe of, 1 billion and turned it into 7 billion. So, you know, even if it did kill 10 million people a year, which is nuts, they don't, how many have they saved? How many lives have been saved by fossil fuels just this year? Mm-hmm. I mean, the number is astronomical. It's impossible to calculate. We'd have to get Alex Epstein or something we should bring on at some point and talk to him about it. He talks about the good about fossil fuels and how we should adore them as a civilization, and that's true.
If you take fossil fuels, which have really driven capitalism, so they're a part of that equation. Mm-hmm. Since fossil fuels and thus capitalism, from 18, I don't remember the exact year, it's early 1800s, like 1820, when the poverty rate in the world was 91%. It is now, because of fossil fuels and capitalism, about 11%. So it's made quite a difference worldwide.
Yeah.
It's the cause for those evil rich people.
Yes.
Right. Yes. Just since 1990, the difference between 1990 and this is a few years old, the stat, but it's from 1990 and a few years ago. Just in that time period, we are keeping alive about 17,000 children per day that would have normally died before 1990 to 2010. Into that 20-year period. That's how much improvement just happened in that period. It's incredible.
Jeez.
And a lot of that has to do with fossil fuels. I mean, I think you can make the argument that the single most important development of humanity would be fossil fuels. There's some other competitors in there. Mm-hmm. But when you talk about not in policy, not even capitalism per se, but just something that drives life on this planet, fossil fuels do it in so many different ways. Everything from plastics to energy to everything.
Yeah. All right. We've got more to come, but we got to take a break. We'll be right back.
I like fossil fuels. Did I make that clear?
I think a little bit. I wasn't getting that.
So what I'm saying is I think
you were really leaning toward wind turbine.
Okay, we have more stories to get into, but this just led me down another rabbit trail. We were talking about how dramatic the left is on everything. This, 10 million people die from fossil fuels, which is obviously not true. And we started talking about January 6th and how they've really used this. Everything is just high drama with them, life or death. And they've really used this tactic with talking about January 6th and what happened at the Capitol. And so we were talking about this Vice News tweet that says, "Reporters who survived the deadly Capitol riot are still struggling. Some won't go back in the building. Several have sought therapy to deal with trauma. Many still aren't sleeping well." All the reporters who survived, which were, there were how many reporters did not survive?
None.
Zero.
Oh.
All the reporters
Zero non-surviving
survived.
Reporters.
So all of them survived.
So did almost everyone else in the area.
Right.
Were, yes.
Few people had heart attacks.
Yeah, there's a couple heart attacks.
Two strokes for one of the persons, and then
and
shot
Bata.
In the neck.
They act as if we know for a fact more people died in the George Floyd riots than at January 6th. Do you care about life? Do you care about black lives?
Right.
We know a lot more black lives were lost during the George Floyd riots than January 6th. By a really wide margin. Mm-hmm. It's such a ridiculous point. You called that out on Twitter, by the way.
Yeah.
Of course, follow Sarah Gonzalez on Twitter because you get great points like that all the time. But I mean, it was just so satisfying. And they frame these things as if there's this visceral struggle for life.
Everything. Mm-hmm.
And it does. I think it makes people shy away from the feeling of that day. I mean, we all watched that on January 6th and we're like, what the hell is going on? I didn't like it at all.
I'm done. Because then I heard New Jersey congressman donates suit he wore during Capitol riot to Smithsonian. Are you kidding?
Come on.
And then the thing about the Lego
set. The Smithsonian threw it out.
The Lego set. Did you see the Lego set one?
Yeah.
And then it's FBI investigators found fully assembled U.S. Capitol Lego toy. At one of the riot leaders' homes. So?
So what?
It's just so annoying. I'm done with January 6th. I don't care. I don't care if it happens again at this point. I just don't. I don't. Like, you have made me not care about it at all. Like, I don't want people to die.
It does do that to you, though.
But it was a.
They push you so far the other way.
Yes, because you're like, it was grandma's holding flags, like, for the most part.
And for the most part, is actually very true, right? Like, the overwhelming majority of people weren't involved in this stuff at all. Right. Now, look, the New York Times released a documentary that came out, I think, last week. It's about 40 minutes on January 6th. It's as balanced as you'd expect, right? Okay, it's all about the worst parts of it. But when you watch it, you do remember that people in this crowd were hitting police officers over the head with flagpoles and fire extinguishers.
Right.
That's not what killed Brian Sicknick, but there were people there. And I don't know, maybe it was 100, maybe it was 200. It wasn't 50,000, but there were people there who were actually doing things that all of us hate. You know, attacking our officers. Yeah. Everyone in this audience despises this stuff. On the other hand, there was also a group of a much, much larger group of people who went to the speech and went home and had nothing to do with it. And then a bunch of people as well who's, you know, probably got a little out of control, maybe went into the building when they shouldn't have, maybe didn't even realize they shouldn't have done it. Who knows? All I know is that the people who really did the damage that day, I do want held responsible. But like, they're pushing conservatives away from even wanting that because it's just so frustrating.
This is like, this wasn't Normandy, okay?
It wasn't.
Can we stop with that?
It's incredible.
I think I mentioned this on the air, that the socialist who I heard being interviewed about this and said, you know, saying that, like, hey, we better not call this an insurrection because what happens next time we do it?
Yeah.
But in addition to that, I believe it was him who also said, remember, the business of the government went on the same day. It was essentially a multiple hour delay in what happened in the U.S. government. Now, look, I'm not trying to demean it, but it is.
I am.
Yeah, you are at this point. You want it to happen again. No, but I'm not trying to blow it off. I really do think it was terrible. But we have to keep these things in perspective. You know, it was symbolically really bad. It was an effort by some in that crowd. They have them on tape saying that they wanted to stop this process from happening, and that's completely unacceptable. But still, put it in perspective. Realize that the real scandal about January 6th, if we want to look at what we should be investigating, is why the hell were they not more prepared for this?
Right.
Like, security should be there. You know, any time you have a big event of tens of thousands of people and a major constitutional governmental issue going on down the street that they don't like, you should have a bunch of people there to stop it. Mm-hmm. Eventually they got there and it almost immediately stopped.
Yeah. Okay, so speaking of all of this high drama, everything has to be just super dramatic, life or death. Everything is horrible from the left. So Hillary Clinton claims that in the wake of the 2020 presidential election, legislators around the United States have introduced bills that would make it, you know, all of these voting rights bills that would make it more difficult for Americans to vote.
Right.
And this is obviously part of an effort to shift the country toward white supremacist authoritarianism. Okay, so she tweeted out, we are witnessing a concerted attempt to destabilize the democratic process and delegitimize our multiracial democracy. And we need to fundamentally change the way we fight back against attacks on voting rights. She wrote a new piece, which I don't recommend reading, on Democracy Docket.
What the hell is Democracy Docket?
Who even knows? Who even knows? But she said, you know, we're moving toward white supremacist authoritarianism. We need to remain laser focused on what's at stake for democracy and people's lives and refuse to allow Republicans to draw us into piecemeal fights over tactics and technicalities, you know, so on and so forth. But it's just part of this big underlying shift toward white supremacist authoritarianism, Pat.
This is another thing that's driving me out of my mind to the point where, you know, I don't like white supremacy, but I'm about at my wit's end with the freaking white supremacy
I'm
thing.
Down with it
what
now.
Are there? Nine of them? Are there nine white supremacists?
We know that 13 people every year are killed by white supremacists.
Oh, that's right.
According to the University of Maryland.
At least 14 of them.
Yes.
Because they killed 13 people last year. You know, and the democracy thing, too, drives me out of my mind. We're not a freaking democracy! And people like Hillary Clinton understand that and know that. And they keep repeating it because it's code for socialism. And they want to bring that about. And they're trying to get us used to the term. But this white supremacist thing, every day they're harping on it. And it's just insane. They don't care about any of the Black Lives Matter rioting or smash and grab stuff or Antifa and all the rioting and taking over portions of cities and all the people who died, which I've heard anywhere from, 25 to 40 or 50 last year, not to mention police officers, not to mention the loss of property, which way exceeded the Capitol building.
$5 billion, I believe, in damage from those riots.
Right, compared to $1.5 million at the Capitol building.
Right.
I mean, it's got to stop. We've got to stand up to this stuff and say, enough.
Yeah. And look, you know, white supremacy is to the extent it exists, we all know, is terrible.
It's
However, it's important to note that it is a small problem in this country. It is not the biggest problem. And
it
like
is.
When she
right.
talks about like we can't be caught up in these technicalities, what she's talking about is what the bills say. That's what
it's minor details,
fact that these bills don't do the things that our horror movie
right.
version of life say they do is a technicality. We just need to fight against them anyway. Well, I mean, I don't know. I think that's kind of important. I think what the bill says is important.
A little bit. Just a little bit. Mm-hmm. Minor details. All right, we've got more to come, but we got to take a break. We'll be back. The San Francisco Gay Men's Chorus, which was apparently first established in 1975, so they've been around for a while. They've released a new original song, not controversial at all. They just declare that they are, in fact, coming for your children, as you have for so long suspected, is what their point is. Like, well, yes, you suspected it, and we're going to admit it this once. Yes, we're coming for your children. Again, take your blood pressure medication, as I often recommend that you do, before you watch certain clips. I'm going to recommend that you take your blood pressure medication before you watch that. Here's a little bit of this.
As we celebrate Pride on the progress we've made over these past years, there's still work to be done. So to those of you out there who are still working against equal rights, we have a message for you.
You think we're sinful? You fight against our rights. You say we all lead lives you can't respect. But you're just frightened. You think that we'll corrupt your kids if our agenda goes unchecked. Funny, just this once, you're correct. We'll convert your children. Happens bit by bit, quietly and subtly, and you will barely notice it.
Okay.
You can keep them from
all right.
Soul.
That's, oh man, that is just lovely. Everything about that was so beautiful. By the way, this is on their YouTube, but apparently they have set it to private because it has caused such an uproar from everyone. Even when they first released it, there were a ton of downvotes, only a couple upvotes. I think most people are like, what the hell are you doing, guys? What are you doing? But okay, so I guess my first question is, at first when I watched this, I thought, I feel like they're just making fun. They're trying to stir conservatives up, right?
Yes,
like they don't mean this.
Exactly right.
But then at the same time,
but
it's like,
do they mean it?
Well,
why
do you joke about that if you're not a little bit, like, is that really just
thing.
A ha ha ha, that's so funny?
Would they think it was funny if I did a song about conversion therapy for them?
They
would not think that's funny. They've already made that pretty clear. That's not funny. We're not laughing about it. Don't say that we can be converted back to heterosexuals. Okay. Well, then don't do this garbage to heterosexuals. It's equally uncool.
Yeah. And
whether you mean it or it's tongue in cheek or whatever the case may be, they would not respond well if I did a song on the air about conversion therapy.
Yeah. See, that's kind of that's where I'm landing, too. Mm-hmm. It's just like, you could say you're just joking, but I really don't feel like that's something to joke about. There's some screws loose.
Yeah.
If you think that that's something to joke about, whether it's that you're serious or that you're just crazy, there's some screws loose there.
Yeah. And they're mocking.
For sure.
Yeah, it feels like
they're mocking the fact that you care about your children and don't want them to be hypersexualized. How dare you?
Right. I mean, it seems like they think they're being edgy. They think they're being like the gay South Park, right? And you know, I think it falls flat. But also, you know, they're realizing that their little, you know, comedy, when directed particularly at children, is not going to go over very well. But it did remind me that I hate musicals. Like, I despise them with every part of me. And no matter what is being said or sang.
Right.
I hate them. They
Me
just
too.
Suck.
Yeah.
And it's a terrible genre and should just go away.
It's why I couldn't watch Hamilton.
Yeah, no, I can't
get through
it. Myself to do it. I mean,
I
it's not the ripping apart
it.
Of American history. And, it's the singing.
Jeffy,
stop it.
And Keith, my producer, were telling me, "No, it's so good, Pat. You're gonna love it." No, it's wall to wall.
No,
songs.
I tried to watch that Elton John
movie. It's bad.
I couldn't even get 10 minutes into it
really?
Without wanting to shoot myself.
Mm-hmm. So not even like Moulin Rouge.
No,
not
I mean,
even.
No, I
got
didn't see Moulin Rouge.
Did you?
That is one
I
of
love
the
that one.
Yeah.
Glenn loves that one as well. It's one of his favorite
We bonded
movies.
Over it.
Yeah, I bet you did. I bet you did. That's very Glenn. Glenn loves musicals, we should be clear.
He does, yes.
You know, but I don't
I'm
think he'd
sure
like
he
that
would,
one.
Yeah,
Glenn
sure
is about three-quarters
one.
Woman, though.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Yeah, so.
He did go to a Lady Gaga concert.
Yes.
So,
yes.
I don't know about
He's
that
He's been to many.
But, so, I mean, this comes, we've been talking about this, what, last month was Pride Month, so this has been in the news because they're continually, they've got the reports that Blue's Clues, they had that, the cartoons that were geared to the children, explaining what Pride Month was, explaining all the flags, explaining, you know, all these things that, call me crazy, I just don't think are fit for kids, that they shouldn't be learning at that young, impressionable age. And then there was a report that just surfaced the other day from an entertainment industry, and they said that yes, these are people who, it was some gender fluid, you know, whatever their term was, but they confirmed like, yeah, we are trying to find activists to recruit, to make these children's cartoons, make these movies, make these books, make all these. Like, yeah, we're searching Tumblr and Twitter instead of searching the usual avenues just so we can find these activists so that we can push these agendas in everything that you are watching, but most importantly, your children are watching.
And the drag queen library readings, you know, they've got...
Are you saying you don't think that kids should learn to twerk?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh
wow.
Yeah, he said
crazy?
It. He said
crazy.
It. Are we still in the air? I don't think we should be saying that. Look, I mean, it's clear that they're doing these things. I mean, the very basic, like, nicest way of the presentation of that is that they're trying to gain acceptance, but they would all admit they're trying to gain acceptance for what they're doing, right? Like, which is, again, it's putting in some sort of agenda. And I do really enjoy dark comedy. Like, that's what I really like. It's what I prefer. And in a world where Pat's gay conversion therapy song is allowed and cheered on because it's edgy and goes against the grain, there's a place for all this crap, even if, you know, assuming it's comedy. You know, there's a place for everybody
but
to say crazy things.
World.
But we don't. You say one thing that's even mildly over the line about the wrong group, and you're going to prison, basically, in this country right now. Yet this is supposed to be acceptable. The double standard is the least of it, but it's there.
Yeah. All right. We got to take a break. We'll be back. We're still talking about musicals, and I'm trying to find the answer to Stu's question, and I still can't find it. Oh, The Greatest Showman.
The Greatest Showman. Ah!
So that was
luckily, I ate it. I saw that at a dine-in theater, which makes everything better. You can watch any crappy movie at a dine-in
theater. As long as there's good food.
Yeah. As long as then you're just eating.
You can drink. Mm-hmm. You can do whatever.
It makes everything better.
Yeah. All right. But, okay. We're done talking about musicals for now. Want to remind you, in case you have not yet gone to wherever you get your audio podcasts, subscribe, rate, and review. By the way, not just the news and why it matters, but also Stu Does America and also Pat Gray Unleashed, okay? Because it will help more people be able to listen to these voices that they'll be listening to us and not to people like Brian Stelter. All right, so you're going to be doing the world a favor. Like, do the world a favor. I don't know of a better push than that. Do the entire world a favor right now. It'll take you 2 seconds, and it'll make the world a better place.
It'll be good for us and bad for other people, like
Brian
CNN personalities.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It'll be bad for CNN. It'll be bad for Joy Reid on MSNBC. It'll be bad for all those people. All the more reason to do it. Also, if you write a nice review, you may see yours read live on air, like the one today from Chrissy GG73, who says, "My favorite podcast for news. I love this podcast and listen every day. Thank you for covering important topics and always having entertaining guests on the show." Like these guys. So thanks for sending your review. Also, make sure to get them in. Hey, and you can talk about your favorite co-host, Pat and Stu, here in your review.
Please do.
Thanks for listening to the News and Why It Matters. We hope you enjoyed the podcast. If you'd like to watch the program, become a Blaze TV subscriber and start your free trial now at blazetv.com.